In the summer of 1997, a Democratic senator stood on the floor of the Senate denouncing the spread of what he called wacko algebra, one widely distributed math text referred to in that speech. Did not ask a question requiring algebraic knowledge until page 107. What replaced the boredom of symbolic calculation were discussions of the role of Zoos in community life, or excursions to visiting the fascinating Dogon tribe of West Africa. Whatever your own personal attitude toward rainforest algebra, as it was snidely labeled, you would be hard-pressed not to admit one thing. Its problems are almost computation-free. Whether you find the mathematical side of social issues relevant or not isn't in question. Your attention should be fixed on the existence of minds, nominally in charge of number enlightenment for your children, which consider a private agenda more important than numbers. 1 week last spring, the entire math homework in fifth grade at middle class PS 87 on the Upper West Side of Manhattan consisted of two questions. 1. Historians estimate that when Columbus landed on what is now the island of Haiti, there were 250,000 people living there. In 2 years, this number had dropped to 125,000. What fraction of the people who had been living in Haiti when Columbus arrived, remained? Why do you think the Arawaks died? Question 2. In 1515, there were only 50,000 Arawaks left alive. In 1550, there were 500. If the same number of people died each year, approximately how many people would have died each year? In 1550, what percentage of the original population was left alive? How do you feel about this? Tom Lovelace, the professor at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard, has no doubt that the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics standards have deliberately de-emphasized math skills, and he knows precisely how it was done. But like other vigorous dissenters who have tried to arrest the elimination of critical intellect in children, he adduces no motive for the awesome project, which has worked so well up to now. Lovelace believes that the real reform project has begun, writing standards that declare the mathematics children will learn. He may be right, but I'm not so sanguine. Elsewhere, there are clues which should check premature optimism. In 1989, according to Lovelace, a group of experts in the field of math education launched a campaign to change the content and teaching of mathematics. This new math created state and district policies which tend to present math reform as religion and identify as sinful behaviors teacher-delivered instruction, individual student desk work, papers corrected for error. Teachers are ordered to keep an elaborate diary on each child's mathematical disposition. Specific skills de-emphasized are learning to use fractions, decimals, percents, integers, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. All have given way to working with manipulatives like beans and counting sticks, much as the Arawaks themselves would have done, and with calculators. Parents worry themselves sick when fifth graders can't multiply 7 times 5 without hunting for beans and sticks. Students who learn the facts of math deep down in the bone, says Lovelace, gain a sense of number unfathomable to those who don't know them. The question critics should ask has nothing to do with computation or reading ability and everything to do with this. How does a fellow human being come to regard ordinary people's children as experimental animals? What impulse triggers the pornographic urge to deprive kids of volition, to fiddle with their lives? It is vital that you consider this, or you will certainly fall victim to appeals that you look at the worthiness of the outcome sought and ignore the methods. This appeal to pragmatism urges a repudiation of principle, sometimes even on the grounds that modern physics proves there is no objective reality. Whether children are better off or not, being spared the effort of thinking algebraically may well be a question worth debating, but if so, the burden of proof rests on the challenger. Short-circuiting the right to choice is a rapist's tactic or a seducer's. If behind a masquerade of number study, some unseen engineer infiltrates the inner layer of a kid's consciousness, the type of subliminal influence exerted in rainforest algebra, tinkering with the way a child sees the larger world, then in a literal sense the purpose of the operation is to dehumanize the experimental subject by forcing him or her into a predetermined consensus.